This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Okay, so the clock has gone 10 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. It's the final hour of Power Talk this Thursday. And what we have in a short while, we're having a conversation about My Vote Counts and how that organization views the possibility of coalition governments in South Africa. What is meant by a coalition, how it works, and would it work better at national level versus what we're seeing at municipal level? And can the polls be believed? At half past, after the headlines, we're going to be going into the entrepreneurial edge and learning a little bit about Intervent Universal. It's a company that specializes in ventilation and cooling systems, particularly in big industries, you know, manufacturing plants, pump rooms, in control rooms of media houses where we've got to keep equipment cool, especially for television broadcasting, in schools as well, airports, and how to use low voltage electrical reticulation systems. So it's that innovation, because I didn't know, but I'd heard that sometimes we think the highest demand at Eskom is in winter because it's cold and people are all using heaters. But apparently in the summer, they use a lot of energy because big office blocks have these heavy industrial air conditioning systems, which actually use more energy, we're told. I don't know. The scientists and engineers amongst us can tell us. So those cooling systems do really consume a lot of energy. And so finding low voltage electrical reticulation could be something that helps to address overheads in the business and corporate world. It is 12 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock, so let's get into it. So since 2016, the debate on coalition government focused on dysfunctionality. In fact, the words are almost synonymously used. Coalition, dysfunction. And not just in South Africa. You know, we've seen it in countries like Greece, just parliaments descending into chaos. Coalition, dysfunction. Poor service delivery, instability. But not all coalition governments work badly. Germany has been run for many, many years by coalitions, and it is the industrial powerhouse of Europe. I think Australia as well, I stand to be corrected. You know, Kenya definitely had a coalition government for a decade, and they are now one of the fastest growing economies on the African continent. They are the country that everybody's looking for as a gateway into Africa. So coalition doesn't necessarily mean bad. But how do you get coalitions right, especially at that national, strategic and parliamentary level? We are joined by Joel Bregman. He's a senior researcher at My Vote Counts. And they have a few positions and proposals as to how to strengthen coalitions if indeed, following the 29th of May, South Africa finds itself in the throes of horse trading for a coalition government. Joel Bregman, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Nice to talk to you.
It is my pleasure. Okay, so let's start off with, you know, what is meant by a coalition? And in South Africa, actually, after 1994, we had a coalition initially, we're told, between the old National Party, which was the New National Party, the ANC, and there was something else in that government to get South Africa through that transition period. It worked.
So let's start off with just the definition of a coalition in the most basic sense. Essentially, in South Africa's electoral system, you need 50% plus one of the votes in council, legislature, in national parliament to win, to form government. Mm. So when a party receives less than that, when you say that the highest percentage that a party wins, say it's 40%, it would need to cobble together with other parties who've got 10% plus one to get over that threshold. So it's as simple as that. It's just it's getting to a point where the majority of where you 50% plus one of the votes in that house.
Let's just also simplify it again. When we say 50% plus one, we're not saying 51. We're saying 50% plus one extra seat. Explain why that's an important technicality.
Sure. So if we look at the National Assembly, for example, where there are 400 seats, because there are different, you know, legislatures across the country have different number of seats in them. Smaller municipalities, you know, might have less than 100. Larger ones, provincial parliaments will have hundreds of seats. So it's just the principle of getting over the halfway line plus one.
Just plus one seat. It's not 51. So let's say a party only got, the highest ranking party got 40%. Mm-hmm. They would need a definite 10% plus one seat, not plus 1%.
Right. That's correct.
Okay. Coalition versus government of national unity, because this is also another issue. So when I refer to what happened in 1994, the terminology is government of national unity.
Correct.
But others do say no, it was a coalition, really, of forces. Even if the ANC had won an overwhelming majority, it was a kind of a coalition. Explain.
I mean, I would push back against that a bit, because a coalition emerges when there's a need for parties to join together to reach that threshold. There was no need. The ANC won that election handily. But as you mentioned in the opening, you know, there was a political need for it. And so I would see that in somewhat different terms.
Okay. And so governments of national unity are not coalition. Coalition is because nobody can muster a 50% majority.
Right.
So you've got to survive somehow.
Correct. Yeah. That's the way I see it.
Okay. No, that's the way many people see it. Okay. And so polls are suggesting that after the 29th of May, we are going to see this scenario where nobody gets 50% of the national vote. And so people are going to have to find partners to push them over that 50% mark. Do you believe those polls?
So let's just be clear here. Like polls, they're not predicting the future. You know, they can't say with exact, you know, clarity that this is what's going to happen. They've obviously based on, they've spoken to thousands of people. This is what the indications are at the moment. But, you know, we obviously have to wait till the 29th. The polls suggest, and many of them, that KZN and Gauteng are the two provinces where the ANC will lose its majority. And nationally, they also, you know, the polls have the ANC sort of in the early 40s. But obviously we have to wait until the results come out.
Okay, so no poll is foolproof. Otherwise, the pollsters would have gotten it right with Donald Trump. They didn't. They predicted.
Exactly.
They didn't predict him coming, and there he is. Okay, so they could get it wrong. But just on the information they have, voting trends from municipal elections, voting trends from previous national elections, they are extrapolating that we're seeing a trend in decline in support for the ANC.
Yeah.
We're seeing a growth for some of the opposition parties, but the smaller parties, to be clear. We're seeing a regional spread as well. And just looking at those issues, they can comfortably predict that the ANC will not get this majority. Now, you're saying, using the same methodology and formula, it is being suggested that definitely in the province of KZN and in the province of Gauteng, the governing party, ruling party, is unlikely to win a majority. So there we are likely, we're not saying absolutely, but we are likely to see the need for a coalition at provincial level.
Exactly. And, I mean, you're so right about, you know, they're taking into account this information from the past elections, and especially the local government elections of 2021, where, you know, we had for the first time, there were more than 60 coalitions formed because there were hung councils after that election. And this is now extended to more than 80 coalitions. So one in every three municipalities in South Africa is in a coalition government. And this really represents, you know, as you mentioned, the ANC sort of waning hegemony, their dominance. This is what happens. You know, the politics opens up and more parties have to come into the fray.
Okay. We can expand on that a little bit more. So we're not saying it's absolutely going to be like this. This is not what polls are saying. But the indications are that KZN and Gauteng at the provincial level are going to have to be coalition formations.
Correct.
Maybe an ANC plus, maybe no ANC, we don't know, but there's likely to be something of a coalition. Now, here's my challenge, is that what people have witnessed, especially in chaotic municipalities, suggests that people have a little bit of a reticence to see this replicating itself at provincial or national level. So would people not say, after what we've seen in Ekurhuleni or Buffalo City or the city of Johannesburg, we don't want that kind of instability at national level. So you know what? I'm just going to take a deep breath, vote a particular way, push up a number in one way or another so that we don't have coalitions at the national or the provincial level. Is that not a reverse impact of seeing dysfunctional municipalities?
So something which I really liked in the opening was that, you know, you mentioned coalitions have a really bad rap at the moment, a bad reputation. But in reality, there are places governed by coalitions that are working. There are also places governed by a single party where, you know, you have service delivery issues, maladministration, corruption, etc. So there isn't necessarily this sort of clear, you know, coalition bad, single party good. And I think that is part of the narrative that really needs to change. And when people go to the polls, people, you know, they're going to vote for the party that they feel best represents their interests. And if that results then in the need for a coalition to be formed, you know, so be it. I think we need to accept that this is, we're sort of moving into a new phase of our politics.
Okay, but still my question is, when people have, whether or not the narrative is fair is immaterial. If people have seen instability at municipal level, would that not prompt people to vote decisively in the election, even if it's for a party they're not comfortable with completely, but just to avoid chaos at a national level? Would that not be the reverse impact of people seeing coalitions at local level?
Possibly. I mean, that is something which we are going to, you know, the outcome of the election will sort of determine if people have voted strategically in that way, if they've made the conscious choice to say, no, I'm going to actually, you know, take this into account and maybe go with a party who I wouldn't necessarily choose, but because of the bigger issues. Yeah, that is something which may well happen.
Okay. And then also the corollary is true, Joel Bregman, is that if they've seen a coalition working well at municipal level, then they're not fearful of it.
Sure. I mean, I think this is very much based on people's sort of personal experiences, you know, in the area in which they live, especially because municipal government is the government closest to the people. You know, it's around water and sanitation and electricity and these sort of things. Okay. So if people have a good experience of that, then yes, it might influence them to feel more comfortable.
Another thing you said is the ruling party, governing party, they insist we call them a governing party, and I always laugh at that, but in any case, that's semantics. So the ANC, you said, is likely at national level to lose their majority. And polls vary. Some say they'd get a 48, which is not a majority. Some would say 45. Some are even saying 40 and below. So depending on who you believe. But are you inclined to believe that we're definitely not going to see an outright victory, which then would force the ANC at 40 plus to find a partner of sorts?
I'm going to be honest. I'm in really no position to sort of, say more than the polls are saying. This is the best information we have at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. But you did make the statement to say we are likely to see shifts, KZN, Gauteng, and at national level. So
based on the polls.
Okay, so at national level, this is what we're likely to see. We don't know the quantum, but likely to see a coalition of sorts.
Correct. The best we have is the polls. You know, we can't venture any further into speculation than that.
So then what would national government look like in a coalition formation? And what are international best practices here?
So, as you mentioned, you know, the specific partners that the ANC may need to join up with is purely determinant on the extent to which they, you know, the number of seats and votes they win. And I think the type of sort of compromises that might need to be made, you know, if it only needs 1 or 2%, it will be able to, you know, bring parties on board with very little power. If it needs 5 or 10%, that's going to be quite different. And in terms of, you know, the way that we think coalitions should best be operating, the places where this happens is there's often a sort of a more mature approach to our politics, where parties aren't always looking for their own more narrow interests. Mm. They are there representing the best interests of the people. They realize that they have to compromise with their partners, which is often for the good. Okay. It moves partners to the middle, which is often more palatable to people.
Okay, so I've said, you know, there are countries like the Koreas, Germany, I think Israel, quite a few countries, Kenya, that have functioned on coalition governments, and it didn't lead to a lot of chaos. What is being done in some of these instances that makes a coalition the middle ground that puts people front and center of policymaking?
Sorry, it was cutting out there for a second.
Sorry, so in countries where coalitions do work, what makes them work?
So, there's obviously a lot of research done on this. This is not something which is the focus of the paper. And I think we just also need to be wary of always looking sort of elsewhere for our solution. Coalition politics are not new. They've existed for, South Africa for decades, in other countries going back much, much further. So I think, we just need to really focus on South Africa's situation.
Okay, which would be new. And so it would make sense to look to international experiences, because that's not new. Okay, so we're also talking about the fact that coalitions are also alliances, I think, in some instances. There's not an election yet, but we're already seeing parties saying, let's band together. The Moonshot Pack is one such, and even Musi Maimane's Build One SA has entered into a kind of a formation with other parties together, where there's safety in numbers, there's power in numbers. What are the views of some of these parties around coalitions?
So, I think the Moonshot Pact, which is now the multi-party charter, is by far the most sort of prominent grouping of parties that have come together. Just today, I read an article, saying that it's not as, maybe on shaky ground, that the Freedom Front Plus is looking for other partners, potentially, that they voted with the ANC in some local, in some municipality. So I think, despite this, I think the MPC must be given some due for releasing the coalition agreement, which is the only real example in South Africa, a pre-election document for people to look at to understand the values, the joint mission, how they're going to approach our politics.
Okay. And in terms of how you form a coalition, there's a concept of electoral thresholds. What are these and how does it work?
Sure. So this is one of the main proposals being touted by government and the ANC and the DA. And the idea is that an electoral threshold, it will still allow every single party who is registered to contest an election, but then to actually enter into a council, a legislature, or national parliament, they would need to receive a certain amount of the vote. The proposal is 1% or 2%. And just to give us some perspective, if we had a 1% electoral threshold in the 2019 national election, instead of the 14 parties represented in parliament, it would only be 4 or 5. It would exclude the majority of parties from representation. So it shuts down our political space. And the rationale behind that is that it makes it easier for coalition politics to work, because they're less partners, they're less parties sort of to join up with each other.
Okay, so you need to get a certain amount of votes in order to qualify for a seat.
Correct.
Okay, and so if you pushed up that requirement, it would then separate the smaller parties from the ones that truly can bring together a bigger grouping into parliament.
Exactly, and it would exclude them from representation.
Okay, what about the legal framework of councils? It's been a big issue, even something that the deputy president has, as the head of government business, has really been in conversation with the legislature about.
Sure, so in South Africa, there are at the municipal level, there are three different types of local councils. There are two most, and so this is covered under the Municipal Structures Act. And the idea here is that there's something called the executive mayor system, right? So under the system, the mayor is still elected by the full council, but the council elects the mayoral committee. So if a mayor is elected in a vote of no confidence, the executive committee remains in place. And the thinking behind this, according to some of the academics who've worked on this, is that it can lead to greater stability instead of the entire executive committee sort of needing to be replaced.
Okay. So we do know that the Electoral Act and the electoral laws in the country mean that if people aren't really happy with the outcome of the 29th of May, there is a tribunal and an electoral dispute mechanism. But what about in the event of a coalition? What mechanism or body can mediate when people are saying, we should be included in this government, it shouldn't be that one, we can bring those numbers and we should have this position, you know, like the EFF saying, if we went into a coalition, we're already picking the role of finance minister. So when there are disputes around these issues, who arbitrates and mediates?
So, I mean, at present, there's no one to mediate these disputes. Other than the party. And that, you know, one of the proposals is around this introduction of an independent body to mediate between parties and coalition. And we, as MBC, we aren't in favor of that. We think parties need to be more mature in their approach, to work with each other, to learn how to actually compromise and cooperate.
Okay. I want to thank you for your time. We've run out of time. That is Joel Bregman, a senior researcher at My Vote Counts, just talking us through some of the positions on proposals that they're putting forward on how to strengthen coalition governments in South Africa and also improving our language around coalition governments. Just because we've seen some instability at municipal level doesn't mean all coalition governments are, by their very nature, dysfunctional. And I mentioned some countries that have run on coalition governments. Belgium is one of them. Austria is one of them. Germany is definitely one of them. Iceland is one of them. Denmark is one of them. Luxembourg is another one of them. The UK is one of them. Yes, the Independent Democrats and Tories at some point. Spain is another one of them. And the one thing most of these countries have in common, Norway included, is that they're highly prosperous, wealthy, well-run countries. So coalition in itself is not a bad word, unless you've got bad politicians wanting to be part of coalitions.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.